Again, just a brief review and summary of the previous chapter that we finished last week, chapter 63 in Likutei Moharan. Rabbeinu Zal started off there by speaking about bris, about tikkun bris, and Rabbeinu Zal said that in Aramaic, bris is called amo. The organ is referred to as amo, and we know the Gemara says, amo bas shisha tfachim, that an amo is six hand breaths. Referring to the fact that the midah of bris, yesoid, is a composite of the six midahs of chesed, gevura, teferes, netzach, hoed, yesoid. And Rabbeinu Zal associated this with angels, these special angels, fiery angels, that have six wings. And the six wings are divided into three categories. Then Rabbeinu Zal went on to say that the true tzaddikim and leaders of Klal Yisrael, there are differences in how they go about leading people that come close to them. There are times when the tzaddik is close to them, he draws himself very close to the people. And there are times when the tzaddik covers himself up and hides himself and distances himself very much from the people. And sometimes not only is he distant from them and therefore they can't come close to him, but in addition to that, the people end up having all kinds of questions and doubts about the tzaddik to the point where they start questioning his worthiness as a tzaddik. And Rabbeinu Zal had said that this is all really for the benefit of those who do come close to the tzaddik. And therefore, a person shouldn't get upset by this or confused by this, because it's really for their benefit, in order to give free choice, that those people who are really sincere, they won't let anything get in the way. They'll be determined, and they'll persist, and they'll do whatever they can to be able to get close to the tzaddik. And if it means waiting for a door to open, they'll wait for the door to open. Then Rabbeinu Zal made a very profound statement that the closer a person gets to Hashem, the person realizes that he's far from Hashem. Because if a person starts thinking that he's close to Hashem and that he understands Hashem, that's the best proof that he doesn't really understand Hashem at all. Because if we were to understand a little bit of the greatness of Hashem, we would realize how far we are from Him, how far we are from understanding Hashem. Then Rabbeinu Zal made a statement that the tzaddik sometimes accepts upon himself suffering on behalf of the world, meaning, even though the tzaddik, Hashem wants to show the tzaddik kindness and give him shefa and bracha and a good life, the tzaddik refuses to accept it, he doesn't want it, and rather he accepts upon himself suffering, thereby allowing the blessing that was supposed to go to him to be able to be distributed among the world. And then finally, the last major topic that we discussed in the previous Torah, Rabbeinu Zal spoke about a snake, which represents the evil, those philosophers who don't believe in Hashem, they don't believe in the Torah. And Rabbeinu Zal said that they can do a lot of damage to Klal Yisrael, but the amount of damage that they can do is affected very directly by us speaking words of Lashon Hara, Rechilus, lies, Leitzonus, Chanufa, insulting other people, profanity, Dvorim Betelem, all kinds of Diburim Roim. When we speak all kinds of Diburim Roim, that feeds this snake. That gives this snake the power to fly, to spread its evil throughout the world very quickly and very effectively. And when we speak just like the original snake who used his cunningness to convince Chava and Adam Arishon to go against Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal said that when we speak holy words, words of Torah, words of Tefillah, that provides wings of holiness for the holy angels. And when those holy wings are proper, and the snake does not have the wings, the power that it gets from Diburim Roim, then they cannot do that much damage to the world. This is pretty much where we left off, the concluding the Torah 63. And now we'll start if any questions before we begin chapter 64. Okay, I believe I mentioned last week that this chapter has a little bit of a... Number one, we do not know exactly when Rabbeinu Zal gave this shir. Rav Nosson Zal doesn't document a time, but we do know that it was approximately when Rabbeinu Zal was 32 years old, 6 years before he passed away. In addition, I mentioned that when I first came to Breslov 46 years ago in New York, and I met Rav Rosenfeld, and I had the privilege of listening to his shiurim. At one point, a few months after I arrived, there was major news that the first Sefer in English on Breslov had been written and was going to be distributed. And it was called Rabbi Nachman's Fire at the time. And it contained a little bit of a biography about Rabbeinu Zal's life, and it discussed a number of the highlights of Breslov Hasidus. And in addition, it gave the English translation of two chapters in Likutei Moran. One was the famous chapter 282, Azamra, which speaks about looking at the good points in other people and looking at the good points in oneself. And the second chapter was the one we're about to learn, chapter 64, which was given as a sample of the depth of Likutei Moran of Rabbeinu Zal's teachings. This chapter is going to touch on quite a bit of how the Arizal defines creation, the creation of the world, and what took place at that time. Rabbeinu Zal bases it on the beginning of Parshas Boi, which is right before the Jews are leaving Mitzrayim. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Boi el Paroi, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, go to Paro, ki ani hichbadati es liboi veslev avodov, because I have hardened his heart and the hearts of all of his servants, Leman Shisi Oisoisayela Bekirboy, in order that I'll be able to inflict my plagues in Egypt. And in addition, Ulaman Tesaper Bosne Bincho Ben Bincho. And in addition, the reason for my doing this is in order that you'll be able to tell your children and your grandchildren, Esasher Hisalalti Bimitzrayim, how I made a mockery of Egypt, this world power. Ves oisoisaya shesamtivom, and these plagues that I inflicted on them. Viedatem ki ani Hashem, and everyone will be aware that Hashem is the true creator and the true king of the world. And then Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Paroi and he tells him, I'm delivering a message from Hashem. Hashem says, Hinani mevi mochor arbe begvulecho. Tomorrow I'm going to bring a plague of locusts into your boundaries, into Egypt. Interestingly, I believe I once might have mentioned this in the past, but we have an opportunity to quote one of the great tzaddikim, Reb Shimshon Ostropolier, who says that if you look at these psukim in the beginning of Parshas Bo, Hashem does not tell Moshe Rabbeinu in any obvious way what the nature of the coming plague is going to be. Hashem just says, go and tell Paro that there's a plague coming. Hashem doesn't say what. When Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to Paro, he does tell him exactly the nature of the plague, that it's this arba. So Reb Shimshon Ostropolier says, in the words boi el paroi, we know that there are different groupings of letters in the Aleph Beis. It's going to be mentioned in this chapter in Likutei Moran later on. There are the five basic groupings of letters in the Aleph Beis based on how they come out of our mouth in speech. There are letters that require movement of the teeth. There are letters that require movement to the lips. There are letters that come from the throat, from the upper palate, five categories. And the letters that are part of the same category can be interchanged in certain situations. So that, for example, a beis and a pei, the letter beis and pei, both require the lips. A person cannot say beis or pei without using the lips. Aleph, a, and ha, aleph and hey, are letters that come from the throat. So now Reb Shimshon Ostropolier says, if we take boi, beis aleph, and insert it into paroi, insert and substitute. We substitute the pei of paroi with a beis. We substitute the hey of paroi with an aleph. We get the word, with an ayin. The ayin of paroi we substitute with the aleph. We get the word arbe, aleph, resh, beis, hey. So that in code, by Hashem saying these words, boi el paroi, in code, Hashem was revealing to Moshe Rabbeinu what the nature of the plague that was coming was going to be. Now Rabbeinu Zal begins, Ki Hashem Yisporach Machmas Rachmanusoi Bora Esoilon. Hashem created the world because of his attribute of kindness. Ki Rotzo Legalois Rachmanusoi. Hashem wanted to reveal this characteristic of kindness. Vimloi Hoyo Bria Soilon Almi Hoyo Mara Rachmanusoi. And had Hashem not created a world, upon whom would he show this kindness? V'alkein bora eskol habria mitchila so atzilus ad soif nekudas hamerkas shel olam agashmi. And therefore, this was the reasoning behind why Hashem went ahead with the entire creation from the beginning of atzilus. Atzilus is usually referred to as the highest of the worlds. Miloshin Eitzel. Eitzel means close to. The closest thing to Hashem, to Ein Sof, to the infinite light of Hashem. Ad all the way down to the Soif, to the bottom of the bottom of the bottom of the Gashmius, of the materialism of this physical world. Hashem created that full spectrum, all the different worlds and all the different levels. Kedei Laharois Rachmanusoi. The main purpose was in order to give Hashem the opportunity to show his kindness. And we find, in fact, a famous discussion between Hashem and the angels when Hashem discusses going ahead with the creation of man. And there were certain angels who protested, who said, no, don't do it, Hashem. Man is sheker. Man will lie. Man will sin. You'll have many disappointments with man. And one of the responses that Hashem gave to this was, But if I don't create man, upon whom will I show my attributes of rachum v'chanun? Who am I going to be able to use it on? On the angels? The angels don't require any kindness. It's only man who can commit wrongdoings and then do tshuva that requires Hashem to employ this rachmonus. V'kasher rotzo Hashem yisborach livro es ha'olam, and when Hashem wanted to create the world, there was no place, there was no room in which to go ahead with this creation. Because all that existed at that point in time was the infinite light of Hashem. There was only wall-to-wall Hashem. So where are you supposed to create? Where can you put the world? Alkein, therefore, simsem esho'er litzdodin. Hashem kaviyochel constricted his light to the sides in all four directions. Validei hatzimtzum hazeh nase cholo haponui. And by performing this constriction, this created a vacant space in the center, in a sense. Ubesoich hecholo haponui hazeh. And inside this vacated area, kaviyochel, which Hashem vacated, nishavu kol hayomim v'hamidois, is where time and space and all the different boundaries and measurements of creation were created. Shehem b'riyas olam. This is what defines the creation of the world. Kemo shekosuv be'etz chayim b'tchilosoi. As the Arizal discusses, in the first section of the Shmoyne Shorim, we know the writings of the Arizal are a set of about 14 volumes, and the first three volumes in most standard sets are called Eitz Chaim, where the Arizal gives the introduction, his introduction to Kabbalah. And there in the beginning, he explains what we just said about why and how Hashem went ahead with creation. And this vacated space was necessary, was critical, in order for Hashem to create the world. Because if there were no vacated place, no vacated space, then there was nowhere for Hashem to create. Where could he put this? Where could he put creation? V'zeh hatzimtzum shelechol ha'ponui e'efsher lohovin ulahasig kiim lo'osid lovoi. Now Rabbeinu Zal tells us, this concept of Hashem vacating an area in order to make room for creation is something that we cannot understand until the future, until when Moshiach comes and the world is going to reach a completely different level of enlightenment. Then we're going to be able to understand on a certain level the paradox involved in this, as we're going to see soon. Ki tzorech loymar boy shnei hafochim. Because regarding this chol haponi, we have to say two contradictory things about it. Yesh v'ayin. We have to say that it's something that exists, that the presence of Hashem does exist there, and we have to say ayin, that Hashem is non-existent there. Why? Ki hecholo haponui hu al yidei hatzimtzum. Because as we mentioned earlier, this vacated space came about through a tzimtzum, through a constriction. Shekaviyochel tzimtzem elokusei misham. Kaviyochel Hashem constricted and removed himself from that area. The ein shom elokus kaviyochel. So it's as if there, the presence of Hashem is absent from there, is not present there. Kim loikein, because if Hashem did not remove himself from there, v'hakoyel ein soif, and everything is the way it was originally, it's all wall-to-wall infinite light of Hashem, v'ein mokim lebriya soilam klal, then there's no room, there's no place in which creation can take place. Avol be'em eslamitoi, however, the real truth is, bevadai afal pikein yesh shom gam ken elokus. Even though we use this terminology, we say that Hashem removed himself, Hashem vacated, we must recognize that Hashem is there. Hashem's presence is even in that vacated space. Ki bevadai ein shum dovor belodei chiyusoi. Because nothing could possibly exist without the life, without energy from Hashem. V'alkein, iefsher lahasig klal b'chinas chol alaponui ad lo sidlovoi. And therefore, we cannot possibly understand this chol alaponui, this concept of vacated, Hashem is vacated and yet present until the future. Now, in many Sifrei Kabbalah, and in many Sifrei Machshava, they give different explanations and interpretations of this. Rabbeinu Zal is going to touch on this shortly. He's going to explain the concept of Soivev Kol Almin and Memale Kol Almin, which is something that the Zohar Kodesh mentions. But Rabbeinu Zal says, even with all of those explanations, it's still definitely not clear. We definitely do not have a real clear understanding of this paradox.
I just wanted to ask about the beginning part, that it says Hashem wanted to be Megalos Rachmanis on us.
Yes.
Even at that point, it's really impossible for us to understand.
Correct. Correct. It's true. That also is, what does that mean exactly? In other words, we know that Kaviyochel Hashem has certain midos. There are certain things that describe and define Hashem. Chesed, Gvura, Teferet, Netzach, Hoid. And the midas ha-chesed, we're being told here, requires something else, something to show the chesed on. Requires some kind of, you know, even though there is a concept of showing chesed to oneself, but in a real clear form, the standard typical understanding of kindness means showing kindness to someone else, to a wife, to a friend, to a child, to a neighbor. Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay, now Rabbeinu Zal is going to really explain very clearly the two types of questions that come up about Hashem, and the kosher questions and the non-kosher questions. Veda, you should know, Sheyesh shnei mine apikursis. There are two types of heresy. Yesh apikursis, shebo michochmas chitzonius. There is a type of heresy that originates in secular wisdoms. By a person studying secular wisdoms, it leads them to question the existence of Hashem, the authority of Hashem, the control of Hashem, Hashgacha Prati, all kinds of questions about Hashem, about the Torah, about creation, about Tzadikim, V'olav Nemar, and regarding these types of questions, Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, V'da Mashetoshuv L'Apikoiris, that you should know how to respond to this Apikoiris. You should study and learn and be able to provide answers to the questions that come up from this type of apikursis, an apikursis that comes from secular wisdoms. Ki apikursis hazois yesho lehotshuva. Because this type of heresy and these types of questions do have answers in the Torah, even as we understand it today. Ki zoisu apikursis bo michochmois chitsoinias. Because these types of heresy and philosophical questions, they come from secular wisdoms, Shehem Boim Mimoisrois, which actually originate from excesses, extraneous elements, Mibechinas Shviras Kalim, from the broken vessels during the beginning of creation, and we'll explain this in a moment. Kimachmas Ribui Hoer Nishtabru HaKelim. The Arizal and the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that when Hashem first went ahead with creation, Hashem took His light and put it into vessels. These vessels doesn't mean something physical. The term vessel, as used in this context, means a lower level light. A lower level light that's used to contain a higher level light. In that context, the higher level light is referred to as Oyer, the lower level light is referred to as Kalim. And we're told that when Hashem first placed His infinite light into these vessels could not contain the light, and they shattered. And as a result of this shattering, the light splattered, the light fell down from its original level, from Atzilus. It fell down into what we call the lower worlds, into Bria, Yetzira, Asiya, the light, and these damaged vessels. Some of the light, and especially the damaged vessels, fell into these lower worlds, which resulted in a potential light, is a term that's used to refer to Chochma, knowledge. Chochma Sodom Toyer Ponov. The knowledge, the intelligence of a person lights up his face. So this, from this breakage of these vessels, and these vessels falling down to lower levels, this is what allowed for secular wisdoms, what we call chochmois chitzoinius, extraneous chochmois, to be born, to come into existence, which make it possible for people to not realize the existence and the presence of Hashem. These broken vessels, these husks that come from these make it possible for us not to see Hashem. Kimachmas ribui ho'er nishtabru akelim. Because of the fact that the light was so bright and so great, the vessels broke. Umishom nishavu haklipois. And that resulted in the beginning of what we call klipois, the husks. Klipois, Shviras HaKelim, Chochmas Chitzonios, Taivois Rois, Midois Rois, all of those terms go together. The Chochmas Chitzonios, Boim Mishom. And Rabbeinu Zal tells us, you should know that the types of secular wisdoms which hide and challenge the existence of Hashem, they come from these Klipois, from these broken vessels. Hainu Mishviras Kelim, Mimoisrois Psoiles Hakedusha, from the extraneous elements, from the waste matter of holiness. This term Psoiles, we could understand it like in the case of a carpenter or a person who works with precious metals. We know that sometimes in order to process, in order to create, in order to build a table or a bookcase, whatever it is, the carpenter starts out with a larger piece of wood, and they trim it, they cut away certain pieces in order to form the actual keli that they want to produce. Same thing is in precious metals, that when a person is making something out of gold, sometimes they have to melt the gold and again get rid of certain excesses that are found in the original ore of the gold that was mined in order to be able to produce a pure result, a pure product. So here we're told that when Hashem created the world, from Hashem's original light, the infinite light of Hashem, as a result of Hashem placing that light, trying to constrict that light into vessels, and the vessels at first could not contain that light and shattered, this resulted in this light and these vessels splattering and making an allowance for these klipos, these moisrois, these chochmos chitzonius to come into existence. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, Kemoi etzel ha'odon, this concept of these excesses, these extraneous elements, we find it also in the case of a human being, lahavdil. Yesh kamo mine moisrois upsoilis. There are extraneous, in the human body, there are extraneous elements and what we call waste products. Kegoin tzipornayim, like the nails, the seor, the hair, the zeor, sweat. Ushar psoiles umoisrois. And other examples of extraneous and waste matter. Kein kol chochma chitzayna. Similarly, each and every form of secular wisdom, bo mimoisrois upsoiles yedua shel hakdusha, comes from a specific form of waste matter or extraneous matter that originates in the kedusha, in holiness. V'chein kishuf, so too magic, sorcery, bo mimoisrois upsoiles yedua, also originates from extraneous things and waste matter. We know that there were certain forms of idol worship that are discussed in the Torah, where the way that they worshipped this idol was by excreting waste in front of the idol. V'alkein, and therefore, mi shenoyfe lapikursus hazois, a person who by studying these chochmas chitzonius starts questioning the existence of Hashem and the presence of Hashem and the authenticity of the Torah and tzaddikim. Af shebevadai tzorich levroyech ulehimolit mishom. Even though a Jew should really know that we're supposed to run away from there and try not to get involved whatsoever in those types of wisdoms and in those types of philosophical questions. Ach afal piken, however, nevertheless, mi shenoyfe l'shom, a person who does get involved in that, in studying these secular wisdoms, including philosophy that's based on these secular wisdoms, efsheloi limtsoi hatzolo lotzeis mishom. It's possible for the person to find a way to extricate themselves from there, to get out of there. Ki yuchol limtsoi shom es Hashem yisborach. Because a person can find Hashem even in those places. Im yevaksheyu v'yidrisheyu sham. If he'll search for Hashem, if he'll really search well, he'll be able to find Hashem even within those secular wisdoms. Ki me'achar shehim boim mishviras kelim. Because of the fact that this type of philosophy, these types of secular wisdoms, are the result of shattered vessels. Yesh shom kamani tzutzoi sakidusha. There are some holy sparks there. When those vessels shattered, broken vessels and some of the light fell into these lower worlds. So there is holiness, there is light there. There are holy sparks there. V'kama oisiois shenishburu v'naflu l'sham kayadua. And in addition, there are letters of the Aleph Beis, letters of the Torah, that were broken and fell into those places, into the places of this Shvira Sakelin. V'alkein, and therefore, yucha limtsoi shom elokus v'sechel. If a person really searches there, they can find Hashem, they can find sechel, holy wisdom, even in those places, Leyashev hakushyas shel apikurses hazois, in order to be able to resolve and answer the questions that come from this form of heresy, habo michochmes chitzonius, which comes from these extraneous intellects, shehem boi mimoisrois mishvira sakelim, which we said are the result of these excesses from the kedusha and the broken vessels. Ki yesh shom chius elikus, because there is, the Hashem is present in those broken vessels, in that light, in those klipos. There is the energy, the life force of Hashem there. Hainu sechel v'oisiyos shenishbaru v'naf l'shom. There is holy knowledge, and there are letters that got broken and fell into those places. V'alkein, and therefore, ho'apikursis hazois yesh oleho tshuva. This form of heresy, this form of denial of Hashem, chas v'shalom, does have a response, v'olov ne'mar v'dam ashetoshev apikoros. And about this it's written that a person, a Jew, is supposed to study Torah and try to understand as much as we can about Hashem and thereby be able to respond correctly to this form of heresy. And we know throughout the generations, we hear that there were different times that there were major debates between the Ramban and apostates, other people, where these tzaddikim were able to show up these apikursim, they were able to answer all of their questions and show that their lack of recognition of Hashem and faith of Hashem was pure folly and foolishness and silliness. Aval yesh oid min apikursis. However, there is another type of heresy, v'heim ha-chochmois she'enom chochmois. These are what we call pseudo-chochmois. These are forms of knowledge that are not really knowledge at all. Elo machmas she'em amukim v'enom asigim oisom. It's only because there's a certain depth there and people don't understand it, because of that, it appears like a form of wisdom, a form of intelligence. Kemoi lamoshol, Rabbeinu Zal gives an example. For example, kishe'echod oimer svoro sheker bigamora pirush toisvis. If a person comes up with a completely false interpretation or explanation of a gemara, or Rashi, or Tosfos, or they come up with a question challenging what it says in the Gemara, Rashi, or Tosfos. Umachma she'ein lamdon liyashiv akushya, and because there happens not to be a person available who's knowledgeable in Gemara, in Rashi, Tosfos, to respond to this person's question, shebo alidei svorazu, which is based on totally false premises, to the people who are listening, it sounds to them like, wow, this person just asked a very deep question. Wow, seems to be a real good question. Even though in reality, this person's question is nonsense, completely nonsense, because the person hasn't studied the basics of Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos. They don't know how they operate, and therefore they ask the question which seemed to be interesting and deep to people who are not familiar with Gemara or Rashi Tosfos. And to them it sounds profound. But you get a Talmud Chacham who comes along who's knowledgeable in Gemara, and he hears this question and he laughs. He says, this is a joke. This person who asked this question obviously has no concept of what Gemara is about, and therefore their question is total silliness. And he's able to show that. Cain, so too, yesh kama mevuchos v'kushyos etzel ha-mechakrim. There are many paradoxes and questions by the philosophers, shebe'emes einom shum chochma, which have no basis in intelligent thought. V'kushyos b'teile meikora. The questions don't even begin. They have no basis to even start. The basis on which they're asking the question is non-existent. However, because our human minds today are not advanced enough to be able to respond to them, to be able to answer their questions, therefore, it appears as if they're saying very profound things, very intelligent things, and it appears as if their questions are legitimate, that it makes sense. Ube'emes, however, Rabbeinu Zal says, the truth is, Yefsher le'yashev elu hakushyos. Today, it is impossible for us to answer, to resolve these questions. Ki elu hakushyos shel apikursis hazois, boim mecholo haponui. Because these questions of this type of heresy actually originate from that vacated space that we spoke about earlier. The first type of heresy we spoke about, we said, originates from the broken vessels, which have light, which are light, and they have light in them, and they have the presence of Hashem in them. But this new type of heresy that we're speaking about now, this second type, comes from the vacated space, asher shom besoich echol aponui ein shom elokus kaviyochol, whereby in this vacated space, we said kaviyochol Hashem is not present. Hashem removed His presence from there. V'alkein elu hakushyos haboim mishom, and therefore these questions and these philosophical discussions that originate from the cholol haponui, mibchinas cholol haponui, yefsher b'shum oifen limtsoi lohem tshuva. We today cannot find solutions, answers to those questions. Meaning, haynu limtsoi shomes Hashem yisborach. We cannot find Hashem there in those questions. Those questions are so opposing to Hashem. They so much negate faith in Hashem and understanding of Hashem that we can't find anything to grab onto there. Ki ilu hayomaitze shom gamken as Hashem yisborach, because if we were able to find Hashem there, imkein lo hayoponui, then it wouldn't be vacant. We said this is called a vacant space. Hashem vacated there. V'hoyo hakoil ein soif. And then everything would be like before creation. It would be just the infinite light of Hashem. V'alkein, and therefore, al ho'apikursis hazois, regarding this second type of philosophy, Ne'mar, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, kol bo'eho lo yeshuvun. All those that enter into there will not return, chas v'shalom. Ki ein shum tshuva, because there are no responses, there are no answers today available to that form of heresy, because of the fact that it originates from the cholol aponui, shemishom tzimtzei melekusa kavyochol, from which kavyochol Hashem removed and constricted His holiness, His presence from there. Interesting, Rav Nosson Zal explains in Likutei Halachos that this will tell us, this will enlighten us as to why there are two types of chokhmah in the Torah itself. There are what we call mishpatim, and there are chukim. Mishpatim means those aspects of the Torah which we can understand, which we can rationally explain, or we can study and analyze and be able to understand exactly how they're derived and why, on a certain level, why Hashem wants us to do this. Why Hashem wants us not to commit murder. Why Hashem wants us to show respect for parents. There are another section in the Torah called Chukim, and Chukim means that part of Hashem's wisdom, that part of the Torah, which we cannot rationalize. We cannot come up with rational explanations as to why Hashem gave us this mitzvah. Like Parah Aduma, the ashes of the red cow, shatnez, mixing wool and linen. And even though there are Sfarim, even though the Zohar Kodesh gives us a little bit of insights into these mitzvahs, Shatnez, Poraduma, the Torah makes it perfectly clear that they remain in the category of Choik, that we do not really understand what's behind these mitzvahs. And we find that the wisest of all men, Shlomo HaMelech, said, Omarti echkema v'hi rechoike mimeni. I said that I'm smart, I'll be smart, and I see that it's far from me. I see that I cannot attain it. There are certain answers that I cannot attain. And Rav Nosson Zal points out that we know that the entire Torah is actually referred to by both of these titles, Chukim and Mishpatim. So that even those mitzvahs which make sense to us, sort of, which we do understand and we can rationalize, we need to know that there's much more to it than what we understand and what we see. And all of our explanations and everything are a joke, are micro compared to the wisdom of Hashem that's found in the Mishpatim and the Chukim, in both of them. And this is why there are many tzaddikim that spoke out against Taimei HaMitzvos, those Sfarim that try to come up with reasons and they try to give reasonable, rational explanations for the mitzvahs, because unfortunately what that has led to many times is that if people like the Reform and the Conservative and these others can show that some of those reasons don't apply today the same way they did in the past, then we don't need those mitzvahs. We don't need the mitzvah of kashrus. We have sanitary conditions today, so the mitzvah of kashrus falls away, chas v'shalom, and other things like that. So therefore, we need to know that from our perspective, even though we try to learn and understand as much as we can of the Mishpatim and even the Chukim from proper kosher sources, still, in the end, we know that we don't know. We acknowledge that we do not understand. And our fulfillment of the mitzvahs is not because we understand it, because it makes sense to us. We perform the mitzvahs, mipnei shehatorah amra, because simple Simon said, because Hashem said to do this. And if Hashem would have said that parents should stand up for their children, we'd be very happy to do it that way. We'd be very happy to do the reverse. If Hashem should have said we should fast on Pesach, we'd be very happy to fast on Pesach and eat steak on Tisha B'Av. Interesting, some of the Sifrei Chassidus write that this pasuk that we just quoted, Kol Bo'eho Lo Yeshuvon, the first letters of these four words make up the word Bichel. Beis Yud Chof Lamed. A Bichel means a book. And in Yiddish, that's the term that was used to refer to books of secular wisdoms, books that are not part of the Torah. A book of Torah is called a Sefer. These other books were called Bichlach. And again, the Meforshim point out that this word Bichl, some of these books are in the category of Kol Bo'eho Lo Yeshuvun, that a person who starts reading those kind of books and studying those kind of books that have this type of heresy in them, they're entering into a dark hole which will definitely damage their faith in Hashem, their faith in Torah Shebal Peh, their faith in Gemara, as we've seen many cases, many, many cases, that those people who get involved in Torah and science sometimes, and that type of study, very often you find that those people, their respect for Hashem, for mitzvahs, for Torah Shebal Peh, and for tzaddikim, certainly falls in a major, major way. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, Rak Yisroel al yedei emuna oivrim al kol hachochmais. The Jewish people, through our faith, we are zeichet to prevail, to jump over all of these chochmais. Vafilu al hapikursis hazois haba michol aponui. Even from these types of philosophical questions that originate from the chol aponui, also, the simple religious Jew is able to skip over it, to ignore it, to jump over it. Ki heim maminim b'Hashem Yisborach, b'li shum chakira v'chochma. because the simple Jews believe in Hashem without any analyzation, without any philosophical discussions, without any intellectual discussions. Rak be'emuna shlema. Rather, only with pure, simple faith. As we find in the Torah, we're referred to as a nation of ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. Ki Hashem Yisborach. Now Rabbein Azal quotes from the Zohar HaKadosh, again, clarifying a little bit this concept of the Cholol Aponui. Ki Hashem Yisborach memale kol almin v'soivev kol almin. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us that Hashem fills all the worlds and surrounds all the worlds. Nimtza, therefore we understand, Shehu kaviyochol betoich kol ha'olamos, Hashem is inside of all the worlds, v'soviv kol ha'olamos, and surrounds on the outside, encircles and surrounds all the worlds. V'tzorich lihiyos hefresh kaviyochol bein hamilui v'hasivuv. And there has to be some type of a separation, some type of space between the inside and the outside. She'im la, because if not, imkein hakoylecha, then it's all one, then there is no inside and outside. We're going to see soon in the Zohar Kodesh and other Sforim, they picture this like a donut. Those that are familiar, those that come from America, maybe other countries that have a donut, the shape of a donut is shaped round, and there's a hole inside of it in the middle. And kaviyochol, it's as if we can say, Hashem is memale kol almin, Hashem is present inside that hole, and then Hashem is soivev kol almin, Hashem surrounds and encircles the outside of this donut, kaviyochol. But Rabbein Azal is telling us here, but the donut itself must be something. It must be some kind of a separation between the two. It must form some kind of separation, because if not, there's no inside and outside. It's all one. Achalidei bechinas hacholol haponui. However, because of the fact that we've been taught that there is this area from which kaviyochol Hashem has vacated His presence to a degree, shemishom tzimtzem elokuso kaviyochol, from which Hashem constricted His spirituality, ubesoichoi boro eskol habria, and inside that vacated space is where Hashem created the entire creation, the worlds. Nimtza shehecholol haponui makif eskol ha'olam. So therefore, we must say that this vacated space surrounds the entire world. Lahavdil. It's like a person wants to create a work area where they can work. Person has an office, an area, and they need an area where they can put together a model of something or that kind of thing. In order to have room to put a table in there, to put that model, they have to take whatever is in that area and move it out of there and create a vacant area in which they're going to be able to build this model, that kind of thing. But again, the model is being built inside a room, inside a location. Rabbein Azal is telling us here that the Cholol Haponui is the room, kaviyochol, in which Hashem went ahead and made the creation. Vashem Yisborach, shehu seivev kol almin, and Hashem, who surrounds all the worlds, mesavev gam al Cholol Haponui. He also surrounds the Cholol Haponui. He is also outside of the Cholol Haponui, encircling it. V'alkein shayach loimar, and therefore, it does make sense to say that Hashem is memale kol almin, that He fills all the worlds. Hainu kol habriyo shenivra betoich echol aponi, meaning the creation, this model that was being built inside the chol aponi, the bria, the different worlds, that Hashem is present there. Even as we saw before, even in the shattered vessels, Hashem is present there, inside the Bria. Vegam soivev kol almin. And in addition, Hashem surrounds and encircles all the worlds. Hainu shemesavev gam alechol alaponui, which means that the chol alaponui is inside of Hashem, kaviyochol. Hashem encircles, Hashem is the arena, the ballpark for the Cholol HaPonui, inside of which you have the creation. Uboemza, and in middle, Mafsik HaCholol HaPonui, the Cholol HaPonui acts as a separation between the outer, between the Soivev and the Mamale. Shekaviyochol Tzimtze Mishom HaLekusoi, where we're taught that Hashem removed His presence, Kaviyochol, from that middle circle, from that piece called Cholol HaPonui. Any questions?
So my question is, if the Cholol HaPonui, the Olam, the Olam is in the Cholol HaPonui, I think that, you know, my understanding is that if Hashem is there, it's just the Olam for us, but He's still there. So can you look at the Cholol HaPonui, which is basically the Olam and the Olam of Hashem? Hashem is there, it's just the Olam for us.
The answer is yes. The answer is yes. However, again, we need to know that we don't know. We need to know that, again, if it were just Ne'elam, if Hashem is there, then it's not vacant. This term panui means vacant. If you tell me that the table is there, I just don't see it because I don't have my glasses on, but there is a table there, then I don't have room to work. You have to physically take the table out of there in order for me to be able to have room. So this concept...
So that's the paradox.
Exactly. This concept of the ha'aloma of Hashem, the hiddenness of Hashem, is something that's very, very deep. And it is discussed in many places in Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Chassidus, including Likutei Moran. We have the famous chapter Ayeh Mekoyim Kevoidoi, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this at length and in depth. This concept of a person hitting a certain low, going to a certain place where Hashem says, I will not go there. Uchvodi la'acher lo etein. Hashem says, I will not allow my kavod, my light, to go into acher, into a place like that. And yet we're told, like you said, that on a certain level of hiddenness, there has to be a presence of Hashem there, otherwise couldn't possibly exist.
Thank you. Another question, if I can, on the light that broke the kilim. How does it relate to the Or HaGanuz? If it relates, I don't know. Does it relate to the Or HaGanuz or not?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I don't know if it's directly related or not. But again, we are taught that the light that's found in those broken... You know, as we're told in the beginning of creation, there was a certain very bright light which Hashem felt the world was unworthy of, undeserving of, and Hashem put that away. He concealed it for tzaddikim of the future. That's one example of Or HaGanuz, hidden light. We are told that in the darkness, in the klipos, in the shattered vessels, there is light. There is the chius of Hashem there. It's just that it's very hidden. That's why Rabbeinu Zal said earlier, if it's only if a person will search very, very well that they'll be able to find the light that's hidden there, that's still found there, even in these, you know, in these shattered vessels, in these broken letters.
All right, Maimon?
Yes.
Could Rebbe explain the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Shvirus HaKelim?
One of the explanations given for this is that this was also part of Bechira, in order to allow for Bechira, that there had to be a concept of good and bad. There had to be a concept of right and left. And in order for there to be, if there had only been good light, if things were only good, then there's no choice. There's no choices. There's no Bechira. It's by creating such a scenario where there is this shattering and there's all of this variety, this is what makes it possible for people to go in all kinds of directions. It makes it possible for the tzaddikim to become tzaddikim by coming into this world of confusion, of light and darkness and shattered vessels and klipos and all that. And it makes it possible for those who are looking for a way out, a way to go away from Hashem, they have these two variations, these two directions that they can go in, two types of heresy that we discussed here, which a person can use to deny Hashem.
Rebbe, let me ask the question a different way.
Sure.
I guess the question is, yeah, so there has to be Tov Ra, but why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to make it that way through Shviras HaKelim? Meaning, why is that the method to create that? Why can't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just create the world in that regard?
As good and bad, I'm really not sure, although the term Shviras HaKelim applies to us also. You know, this is a lesson for us in life to know that the whole concept of a relationship, a healthy, positive relationship with Hashem, with Tzaddikim, with the Torah, requires a middle of the road. Like Rabbi Nizal said, the world is a Gesher Tzar. And the only way you can get across the Gesher Tzar is if you can center yourself. And this concept of Shvira Sakelim it shows us a lesson that when the light is too bright, when a person goes to any type of extreme, like it says by Nodav and Aviyu, Bekarvosam lefnei Hashem vayamusu. Person would say, what do you mean? The whole purpose of creation and the whole purpose of quality, so the whole purpose of Yiddishkeit is to litkarev al Hashem. Here it says, no, there's a type of Bekarvosam lefnei Hashem which leads to death. And in fact, the term death, as is used in Sifrei Kabbalah, the term Misas Melochim means Yerida. Whenever there's a Yerida, it's also referred to as a death, because death means going down. A person is placed into the earth, into the ground. That's major Yerida. So here again, could be because Hashem wants to teach us. Hashem is setting an example for us. Tzadikim Mistamnen Liot, Tzadikim emulate Hashem. Hashem, who is perfect, who didn't have to make any mistakes, Hashem created in such a manner to show us the different potential errors, the different potential mistakes, that there is a concept of too much light. Again, when a rabbi is teaching a student, Rabbi Nizal teaches in the Qutaran, have to be extremely careful for the rabbi to recognize that the student is not on the same level as the rabbi. And if he shares with the student his knowledge on the level that he has it, it can blind the student, it can damage the student. Whereas the necessity to shrink the light, to shrink it and bring it down, 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 many, many levels, in order for it to be constructive, in order for it to only be able to have beneficial, positive results. Does that help?
Yes, very good, thank you.
Okay, great, great. Okay, we'll hold it over here. Now, in the next part of this chapter, Rabbi Nizal is going to go into, this is why the Jewish people are called Ivriim, Miloshen La'avor. We're able to cross over this Grand Canyon, this big hole, this big black hole. We're able to jump over it. All of these questions, all of these forms, different forms of darkness that block a person from being able to see Hashem and believe in Hashem everywhere. We'll continue with Hashem next week from here. Sure. All the best.